Tikkuni Mabushim, make sure you have the right clothing. The two of you are very stringent to make sure you have your scrubs on during davening. Like,
since COVID, I have scrubs only.
Yeah. It's one of the great things about being a doctor. You can show up at any place with scrubs on. And so, okay, welcome everyone. It's so nice to have you here. It's a tremendous close to A, to everyone, and to interact with you and both different whole and and it's a special, special privilege for me to learn together the writings of Rav Huttner. Lisa, you have to do your job.
I'm doing my job.
Okay, you are. Okay. Hey, Phyllis.
Hi.
The writings of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner, we can spend like an entire sort of class just speaking about who Rav Huttner was, but Rav Huttner was one of the great Talmidim students of the Alter of Slobodka. At the beginning of the 20th century, that sort of school, that circle, Talmidim, around the Alchemist Slobodka, really produced all the great Rosh Yeshiva for the United States and for Israel as well, with Aaron Cutler and Rabbi Kamenetsky, and on and on and on and on. Rav Huttner was like the youngest member of that group, and he went on to go live a very colorful life, and then was Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin for many decades until his death in 85 or 86, one of those 2 years, right around the beginning of my adolescence, sometime around then. Rav Huttner was remarkable just really because of the force of his personality, who he was as a person, who he was as a Rebbe, and he was a person of like enormous, enormous, enormous depth, emotional sophistication, psychological sophistication, spiritual sophistication. He was like a larger-than-life person. He was both at the same time a absolutely terrifying human being and also a very warm human being. He was just like a larger-than-life person that impacted the many, many thousands of people who walked through the doorway of Chaim Berlin. And there's many students that only know him as I do through his writing. As I mentioned before, we jump in two things. The first is that, you know, for those of you who know me, I hope this does not sound arrogant in any way whatsoever, but like Torah always needs to have substance to it, right? It has to have like resonance to it. You have to read something and say like, wow, there's beauty and there's depth and sophistication. You know, if we reduce Torah to a bunch of nice little like vertlach, and there's nothing wrong with a good gematria here and there, sometimes a good gematria actually highlights sort of a deeper beauty. But in the same way that education out in the world and science and literature and music has depth and sophistication, and if we make Torah in any way sort of small or simple or doesn't touch a person deep in their soul, it's almost like that we have made almost like a chilo. We've almost reduced Torah and we've made it more profane. Like Torah needs to feel like it really touches a person. And Rav Huttner, along with Rav Kook, and along with Rav Tzadok, and the Maharal, and a few others, the Rav Soloveitchik, you know, it creates that depth and that beauty and that sophistication in a way that is deeply profound. And that's one of my real loves of Rav Huttner. And the second thing is that, in general, Rav Huttner is very hard to learn. There's no translation. It's a very sophisticated Hebrew. It's a very modern Hebrew. It's very poetic. I chose two pieces that I think are both easier and shorter. And I'm not going to try to give a shiur. Like, many times you give a shiur where you're trying to bring in different ideas, and then this mar makom, this source, and that source. I don't want to do that. I want to sort of read through the pieces, and the pieces themselves, in my estimation, are just so beautiful on their own, without me needing to yammer on too much, which I have a tendency to do. But just always like to allow the mamarim, the piece themselves, to speak for themselves. Okay, we're going to hopefully go through two different mamarim, two different pieces. And after each like little like keta, little like paragraph, I'm going to stop. And if anybody has a question just about either a word or a phrase, please feel free to raise it. And then after each piece, we'll sort of take a second just to people have any reflections on it or if it touches you in a certain type of way. And I will share my own sort of feelings and reflections after those pieces. Okay? Everyone with me? Fine. So this is Mamar or Inyan Chav Dalid, number 24. So Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, Mevi Geula La'olam. Anybody who says anything, but let's say a Dvar Torah, in the name of somebody else. You know, Michael and Seth are Talmidim of Rabbi Rosenholz. So if they're coming and they say, oh, Rabbi Rosenholz mentioned this idea in the Mesillas Yesharim, so you're saying something b'shem Omro, something in the name of your teacher or name of anybody. So maybe Geula La'olam. The Gemara says that you have brought redemption to the world simply by saying, I have heard this Dvar Torah in the name of Rabbi Rosenholz, in the name of Rabbi Ives, right? Shenemar v'tomar Esther l'melach b'shem Mordechai. That Esther told the king something in the name of Mordechai, and through there came the redemption. Okay? There are many other, you have the first page of Talad? Okay. There are many other redemptions as well. There's many other times that we have person A saying something in the name of person B. The only place that we have this idea of somebody saying something b'shem Omro in someone else's name, that it brings the Geula, is in this place. And the question is why? What is it about Purim that we have this concept of saying something in somebody else's name? What's unique about Purim that has animated or brought about this concept of the significance of saying something b'shem Omro? What's sort of the connection between Purim and ha'omer davar b'shem Omro mevi Geula? How do we sort of understand those two concepts? Okay? And why specifically here? What's the deeper resonance of that? Okay, everyone fine? So, havas Geula la'olam, this is base. When the bringing of Geula la'olam ayidei amiras davar b'shem Omro nisfar shalonim yisodo shahmaral. What this means, that when you say something in somebody's name, it brings the Geula, is explained by the Maharal. And I absolutely love this idea. Okay? Kishorsho shel hadibur hanemar nimsahu b'nishmaso shel bal hamaymar. The statement that a person says, nimsahu b'nishmaso shel bal hamaymar, it comes from a person's soul. So I want you to think for a second about certain things. I think everyone here, if I'm mistaken, besides Moshe and myself and Leiling, have lost like a parent before. And think about something that my father would always say, my mother would always say, where it wasn't just like, you know, Lisa, take out the garbage, but it was like a principle about life. It was something that was fundamental. That fundamental principle comes from sort of the neshama of that person. It's the essence of who that person was, okay? So the mirus davar b'shem Omro, and now when I come ahead and I say, I always heard from my grandfather X, Y, and Z. Okay. So he achzaras ha'anaf l'sharsho. You're returning the branch back to its root. You return when you say that my father used to say X, or my Rebbe used to say Y, or my grandfather used to say Y. It's like you return that statement back to the root of who that person is. Right? And that's a beautiful idea. It's like I take the statement of my father and I almost reconnect it to his soul. I bring it back to his root by saying, oh yeah, my father used to say, or my Rebbe used to say, Ukmo Kain, Ikra Shogalus, what is the nature of being in exile? What is the nature of being in Gola? Hu she'iev sharlo legola lachayos es hispachus hachayos shalo. The nature of being in exile is that you cannot twin, you can't pair, you can't connect your life back to its root. So what does it mean that we're in Galus as a people? What it means in Galus people is that in our soul is our connection to the land of Israel. And if we're living, no offense to any of us, but in Pomona or Wesley Hills, there's like a branch of our life that is disconnected back to its source. Galus always means a removal of something back to its root, right? You have the root, you have the shoresh. Galus is a removal of that, okay? Like the Chachamim say, Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzoncha. It is our desire to do your ratzon. Ela sheshivan malchus ma'akev. Right, being under somebody else's thumb, being in Gola, stops us from sort of the essence of our lives. Umemela ikrishokol geula. Let's go to the next page. The nature of every redemption, hu hachazaras anfei hachayim l'shor shehanefesh atzmim. The nature of redemption is always returning the branches back to its root. It's always sort of going back to its source. whether it's national, whether it's personal, whether it's in the family, whether it's an area of our life, Geula, redemption, is the connection of the branches back to its source. Okay? The Alkane, and if that's the case, Shmuel, Amiras Dover B'Shem Omro, saying something in someone else's name, Shehi Pu'ula, is an action of Hachzaras Ha'anaf L'Sharsho, you're returning the branch back to its root, Hi Pu'elas Pu'ula Shel Geula. That is a statement of redemption. You're redeeming statements back to its connection. Now, before we go on, one of the reasons that I love this piece is sort of thinking about the nature of Gola, the nature of Galus. A person sort of being disconnected from themselves. Right? Anybody ever have that feeling? You may not even know that you're experiencing it until you wake up one day and you realize how disconnected my soul is from my actions. I believe my essence is sort of over here, my neshama is over here, but then I look at the way that I speak, or I look at this action, I look at the way that I speak to my child, I look at the way that I was driving down the Palisades, in which I hope no one sees me drive down the Palisades. I look at how frustrated I get, I don't know, I'm just giving like my whole litany of areas of embarrassment. When I call Citibank and I get somebody on the line who does not speak English, I'm annoyed at that person. So I think my essence is to be this warm, gentle, kind person. But then I have all these like branches over different places that are not connected back to my essence, right? That's a person who's in Gola in a way. They're an exile from themselves in all sorts of very small and very big ways. What would sort of be like a fancy English word for that description?
Cognitive dissonance.
What's that?
Cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance, some form of dissonance, right? Where it's like, I define myself as X, but my life is not a reflection of that. And then what Geula is in some personal way is almost reclaiming all of those like branches and bringing them back to their source so that everything we do comes in some type of symphonic, harmonious fashion. The very nature of saying something B'Shem Omro is that you're taking a statement that your parent, grandparent, Rebbe said, and you're returning back to the sort of themselves. You're returning it back to the soul of who they are. That's a Geula in a very, very, very meaningful type of way. V'hine yadua ki hadiburim she'adam omer machmas lachatz shel kafiya. When somebody is forced to say something, right, I force you at gunpoint to admit to a crime. So eina misyachasim el atzmiu soklau. If all you were was forced to say something, right, it's not really what I want to say, it's not really what I mean. If I'm just forced to anything, it doesn't relate to my atzmi, it doesn't relate to my essence. V'nimsa, and it's found, the chos man shahaisa kayemes taina shamudo rabalo raisa. As long as B'nai Israel received the Torah, and as long as we were living in consequence of the fact that God held the Torah over our head and forced us to accept the Torah, we didn't maybe necessarily want to, there was kafiyah involved, there was a certain forcing involved. So lo haisa amiras nasa v'nishma, then our statement of we want to receive the Torah, misyacheses b'shleimus b'nes Yisrael, it didn't fully connect back to our souls. Do we really mean to say nasa v'nishma, we want to receive the Torah? Well, maybe yes, but like maybe no. Maybe we're also being held by gunpoint a little bit by God that made us get the Torah. V'rap b'sha'a, but it's only at the time, shahadar kibluha, that on Purim, where we went back and we received the Torah, b'ratzon, out of a sense of desire, b'me'ach v'shverosh, nisbarer, it became clear, sha'omnam, that indeed, diburim halalu, those original words, shel nasa v'nishma, that we will do and we will listen, mishtaichim u'misyachazim, Linakudas Hatamsis Shatmias Israel really belonged to sort of the essence of who you were in the first place. Right? As long as we had disdain over us that we were forced to receive the Torah, it's as though us receiving the Torah was not connected to our soul. Okay? Once we say V'hadar Kibluha, we go back and we receive the Torah at the time of Achashverosh, and we say almost like Nasa V'nishma again. What that's doing is saying that those original words of Natsva Nishma were connected back to our essence, were connected back to who we were. And this is the greatest expression of saying something in the name of somebody else. Shekan huchzuru hadiburim shel nas v'nishma l'shor sham. We realize that those initial words, nas v'nishma, are connected back to our essence. V'zehu pesher davar hakavios shel miras davar shem omro, dafka b'gula zudipurim. And that's why the whole idea of saying something in someone else's name is connected to Purim, v'tomer Esther l'melech v'shem Mordechai. Okay? Now, again, that it's a complicated idea, and I'll just sort of say it out loud. Everyone, okay, and please feel free to mention if you've not copped this at all, and we'll go through it again. Number one, we say that Ha'omer Dover B'Shem Omro, maybe Geula. If I say something in my father's name, I brought the redemption. Why is that bringing Geula? Why is that? Because we say that there's some mini redemption that you connect the branches of who a person was back to their soul. So if my father always said X, or if my Rebbe said Y, I'm connecting those words back to his soul. And the Maral said in a much more beautiful way that every galus, every exile, is when the pieces of ourselves, as Shmuel said, are dissonant, are disconnected. Geula is redeeming them. What was the Geula Purim? The Geula Purim was that by Har Sinai, we said the words Nasa v'Nishma, those words became disconnected from the essence of Klal Yisrael, because we had on it the stain of God forcing to us to accept the Torah. But on Purim, we remove that stain. We say no, that we have a clear connection between our souls as a people and the words Nasa v'Nishma, the words that we will do and we will listen. There was a removal of that dissonance. There was a removal of that barrier. And therefore, that is the ultimate example of Ha'omer Dover B'Shem Omer. And I would just say, maybe in a broader sense, that the Simcha of Purim is the Simcha of the removal of dissonance. There's typically in our life a disconnect between our spiritual self and our physical self. There's a spiritual self, and then there's a person who likes to go drink and ends up, if you walk by our friends, Akiva Grossman, anybody have to walk by his house? He lives at the end of Deerwood. Right by Akiva Grossman's house, so they have some couches on their front yard, just in case there's somebody who comes over in Purim who perhaps would rather than be outside the couches. So they put the couch there. So typically in our life, a person drinks something and then they need to throw up, or they're running around like a mishugana, or they eat too much and they feel disgusting. And therefore that is sort of symbolic of the fundamental dissonance of the soul and the body, the essence of man and the physical piece of man. And in one way or other, in a thousand different ways, we live in that state of dissonance. And on Purim, in the same way that Purim is a reconnection of Nasa v'Nishma back to its source, in the same way that Purim is reconnecting the Anofim, the branches, back to our source, Purim in a very meaningful way is a reconnection of all the physical pieces of ourselves that doesn't mind drinking, or eating, or carousing a little bit, or running around a little bit like a mishugana here and there, but connecting that in a very meaningful way to serve a spiritual essence and a spiritual core. That's like the ultimate day of Geula, and out of that ultimate Geula, clearly the Mefarshim say, is a fundamental sense of deeply felt Simcha. Simcha is felt when the pieces of my life resonate with each other, connect with each other, meld with each other, and that is the ultimate Geula, and of course the ultimate Simcha in our life, and that's why, of course, the Simcha of Purim is more pronounced than perhaps any other Simcha spoken about in Chazal and in the Mefarshim.
I'm missing one point.
Yes.
Why does Nasem v'Nishma have come to Purim? Like, what's that connection?
Sure. So it requires, and Phil, I didn't explain this properly before. I almost like jumped over a certain assumption of the Gemara and Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara and Shabbos says that we receive the Torah, we said Nasa v'Nishma. At some point, Kafa lo harkagigis, the mountain was held over our heads, whatever that means. And then, in a way that almost like did away with the value of Nasa v'Nishma, because we were forced to do it, the Nasa v'Nishma almost became like put on the side. The Gemara says that in Purim, Hadr kibluha. In the time of Achashverosh, we came back and we said, we want to accept the Torah fully and besimcha. So therefore, Purim is reconnecting the words of Nasa v'Nishma back to the essence of Klal Yisrael, removing the stain of Kafal of Har Kedigas, right? Which is like a very profound idea. It's like, no, that's who we really were the whole time. You know, and you almost sort of think about...
Kind of nothing. Why would God even put the Har Kedigas if we already said
that? Okay, so good. So you're already asking, Shimon, as usual, you're asking questions that are too deep for this place. But that's a good question. Why even sort of do that in the first place? And then, like, there's a whole discussion in Maral about that, which maybe we'll talk about another time. Okay? As I was thinking, by the way, I just want to mention our good friend Yossi is here, whose son is getting married a week from today, Mirz Hashem. Mazel Tov. What's that? A week, right?
You'll show up a day too early, but yes.
Yossi, I'm so happy you told me this. I'll be in Brooklyn. I'll be like, hey, where's everybody? As I'm saying that, I'm like, wait a second. I don't think it's Sunday. I think it's Monday. Anyway, listen, there are things that people say to each other that are deeply felt. You know, like a chassan tells their kala and vice versa, like the depth of profound love that is there. And it's totally true. And then, chas v'shalom, not obviously in the brachot case, but then, you know, tensions exist in relationships. There's all sorts of different types of pirud of disconnection. There's a certain types of, often like violation of trust. There's periods in that relationship where, you know, there's a basic sense of dissonance, even two people living in the same house. And then something happens, and then there's a realization that's sort of like the initial statement of the deep, passionate love that exists in those moments is there, was always there, is still very much burning there, and then there's sort of like a need of almost reconnecting to that, and how does a couple go ahead in doing that? And all of Geula is that, and that's what Rav Hutner is trying to say in regards to Har Sinai, in regards to saying something in someone else's name. That's the whole process of personal national redemption. Okay, so I want to move on to Lamed Daled, which is a piece that, you know, it's a good thing about getting older, not that anybody here knows what I'm talking about. It's like, I can see something every year and be like, that was so beautiful, as though you were seeing something for the first time. And I'm ignoring the fact that I saw Lamed Daled this year again. I'm like, that's so beautiful. Ignoring the fact that I have already arrows and double underlines and other things from the year before. It's like, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you get to sort of rediscover things for the new time. For the first time, almost on a daily basis, which is great.
Chazara.
Exactly. What's that?
It only gets better.
What? Fred? What do you think? I didn't mean to say Fred, but you know what I mean. So Mamar Lamed Daled is really quite beautiful. So, okay, let's go. So it says, V'zochrim lo Yosef Mizaram, so that the Pasuk says in Perek Tes, that we will never stop forgetting Megillas Esther. Right? The Zachram, the remembrance of these events, lo yasuk mizerav, will never sort of end, even with your children. So what does that tell us? So afil bisman shekol hamoadim yisbatlu, purim lo yisbatel. That this is the halacha discussed in the Yushalmi and brought down to the Rambam, that even at the end of days, we're going to stop keeping all the holidays. Mm-hmm. We are going to stop reading all of the Megillos. Everything is going to stop. The only thing that's still going to exist is Megillas Esther, which is somewhat unusual. You would think of all the things that we're going to read, that Megillas Esther gets put in that place, and that is brought down in the Rambam. It's brought down in the Halacha as well. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Perek Tes, V'zochram lo yasuf mizeram, that the remembrance will never end. And the question is why? So what's so unique about Megillas Esther or Purim, that is going to sort of maintain itself even b'acharis hayomim, even at the end of days. So listen to these beautiful words. So he says, Mahal chan yonim b'derech zeh. So let me explain to you what's really going on. Rav Hutner was a person, you ever see people like this in your life? He did not lack in confidence. He'll tell you exactly what it is. He'll tell you this is the only way of looking at something. There are people like that in the world. I don't have those genes, but I appreciate the fact that Rav Hutner was that person. He's going to tell you exactly what the pshat is as to why Megillas Esther is something which continues to be read. He says, "Mashal l'shnei bnei adam shenitzavu l'hakir anashim b'layla." Let's say you have a mashal of two people who are commanded to recognize anashim b'layla. Right? It's at nighttime, and you're two different people, and it's pitch black, and you're trying to figure out, okay, is that Yenim? Is it Dov? Who's that person over there? Okay. In the absolute blackness, ha'echad hidlik ner, the first person says, okay, I'll be smart about this. I'll take out my iPhone, I'll put on the light, or a candle, whatever it is, v'himit v'fnei anashim lor haner, and he will look into the face of the men with the candle, b'kdei l'hakir s'fneim, right, so that he can recognize their faces. Okay, l'hasheni, the second person, has a flip phone. He doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a candle. He doesn't have an avuka. Lo hayaner, he doesn't have a candle. U'mikevan, Shahaya Mukhrach Lahakir Sanajman. So if you don't have a candle, you don't have a light, so what do? How do you figure out who the person is?
Yes.
Okay, that would be the simple. Well, that's typical of you, by the way. Just like the Das Yashar of every situation. So let's say you can't even ask, or you're not sure, or you can't trust them, or your voice isn't working, or something, right? So what do? Hasheni Lohaya Ner. He doesn't have a candle. Umikavan Shahaya Mukhurach Lahakir as Hanashim, but I have to recognize the people. Imein es Atzmo. What does that language mean, by the way? Imein es Atzmo?
He trains himself.
What's that?
He trains himself.
Yeah, he girds himself, he trains himself, lahakiram, to recognize them, b'tfiyas eina dekala. He recognized them by what? What's tfiyas eina dekala? Through their voice, right? Or you can substitute for their voice, maybe he can, like, pat their arm or something, right? But it's something where he has to rely on, like, one of his senses to figure out who the person is there. V'nimsa, and what's found, is le'inyon habriros v'habihirus. Who's going to be able to be more sure that they found, you know, Jim out on the street? Harishon adif min hasheni. Of course the first one is better, because I'm using a candle, and you're using your senses as far as a voice. Okay? Sharei hakaras adam b'chush hari'ia, because to recognize a person through sight, he yoser berura, is obviously more clear, me'asher hakaras adam b'chush hashmi'a. That's of course better than just listening to a person's voice. Okay? Aval umas zos. But what's sort of the flip side to that? If I want to identify a person, is it better to use a light or your voice? Obviously a light's better. But what's sort of the flip side of that? What's sort of almost like the counterpoint? Lu'umas zos. Sort of almost in contrast to that, Mashiach?
Your brain, you're exercising your...
Exactly. So he says, but lu'umas zos, yesh l'hasheni adifus al rishon. The second person obviously has a real adifus, has a real... it's adif, it's better. Shehu sigil atmo, because I've now developed the skills, kishron chadash, like a new skill, shall hakshava l'kolos b'nei adam. I can now sort of attune myself to people's voices. Phil, I'm sure you've seen this many times. People start losing their sight, you know, obviously every other sense becomes better. I used to watch my friend, Lavi Greenspan. Everyone know Lavi Greenspan?
Yeah.
So Lavi Greenspan is a year older than me. He had like meningitis when he was around not my age, when we were like young in his 20s, middle of law school. Lost his sight, completely lost his sight, just got married now, he's like 52 years old. But I used to watch him like walk around, like all of a sudden someone that had his sight, lost his sight, but ended up becoming like, he could recognize my voice from 500 feet away. He could like, his capacity to sort of know and see and understand, hear voices, like it was incredible. He had to develop that. Obviously, in the absence of sight. So, sigil la'atmo kishron chadash shal hakshava l'kolos b'nei adam. The harishon asher nishtamish b'ner, the first person that only was able to use a candle, chiser lo kishron zeh shal hakara ayidei chush hashmiya. He obviously is missing that capacity, that skill of recognizing just by listening. V'nimsa. Okay, and now it's found, the achar kach. Okay, we found these people. We found Yenim. We found Beryl. L'kishayala amun hashachar. Now the sun has come up. The light has sort of the sun has risen. V'harishon yichaves neiro. The first person is going to put out his candle. He doesn't need a candle anymore. The shariga b'tihara mayahane. Who needs a candle in the light of day? But kolakolchos shenosna lo avodas b'layla lor haner. Any skills that he had that was only used because he used Or HaNer, Miyusar HaMakshav. Now I have nothing. I have nothing because I don't need the candle anymore. Avalu Mazoz, again, this is a very sort of easy piece, a very easy idea. But in contrast to that, Hasheni, Nehi De'akshav Gamhu Makir Sanashim, I too now can recognize people also because the sun has come up. Nikomakom Kochos Hashmiya, but now I have these better developed skills of listening, Hakshava. What's the difference between Shmiya and Hakshava? Just for those who are...
Attention, maybe?
Yeah. Shmi is probably just listening. Hachshava is maybe more attentive listening. Sheyitzra bo avodas b'choshech, that developed for him during the nighttime, la'olam nisharim kinya b'nafsho. Now I still have those skills afterwards. Okay. So v'hine b'shanam uberes. This is pretty obvious. Everybody need explanation, translation, anything? Okay. So Vihine Bishanab Uberes, Kurin is Hamagilab or the other Shani. Of course, if this year was a leap year, we would read the Megillah on other Shani. Vitaima, what's the reason the Gemara says? Mishum nisamchin on Geulas Purim, le Geulas Mitzrayim. We want to have the two Geulos back to back. The Geula Purim, 14th day of Adar, the Geula Mitzrayim, 14th to 15th day of Nisan. The Aleinu Ladas, now why is that? Why do we want to have those two sort of Geulos back to back? The Aleinu Ladas, ki kishem she Geulas Mitzrayim, yesh la Anochi Mishallah. The Geula Mitzrayim has the term of Anochi, me God. Discover me God. Anochi asher hosesicha meretz Mitzrayim. I am the God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Right? There's an Anochi of that geula, of that redemption. Kemo kein, yesh lo gam legulas Purim, Anochi mishallah. So too when it comes to Purim, there's also the Anochi. Anochi meaning discovering God through the geula of Purim. How does one discover God through geula of Purim? Anochi haster aster. I am hidden, right? That's Hester. How do we know Esther? Esther is from the fact that God is hidden. Each geula has an Anochi. There's the Anochi of, I am the Anochi to Kem Mitzrayim. I am the Anochi that is hidden from you. Each geula has that element of discovering the Anochi, of discovering God.
Totally opposite.
Totally opposite from each other, right? Klomar, okay, and by the way, if you want to know why I love the writings of Futner, it can all be encapsulated in this paragraph. And you'll just sort of see where I'm coming from then. So Klomar, Shtei Drachim Yeshla, exactly as Ephraim just says, there are two different Drachim, Yeshla L'Knesses Yisrael L'Hakir Anochi. Two different ways of recognizing the Anochius, the presence of God. Ayidei Geulas Mitzrayim, revelation, V'yod Ayidei Geulas Purim, and also through Geulas Purim, which is discovering God through the darkness. Ha'akara Sh'Knesses Yisrael Makira Es Anochi. When you discover God through the revelation of Mitzrayim, hidugmas ha'adam hamakir es chaveiro be'ezras kli ha'or shenitin lo. That's like discovering God with a candle. It's like discovering a person with a candle. There's a revelation. There's makos. There's God speaking at Har Sinai. There's Kriyas Yamsuf. There is the Anane Kavod. The way that we discover God in Geulas Mitzrayim is through the candle, through the light, through revelation. Ve'ilu ha'akara shekenes Yisrael makira is hanochi ayidei ha'geula de hester aster. But the way that we discover God, when God is hidden in the redemption of hester aster, he dugmas ha'akara she'adam makir chaveiro ayidei shalimed es atzmo la'akira be'ezras chush acher muvad chush ha'riyah. Is like comparable to somebody that discovers somebody else in the dark. I can't see it, it's not clear, there's not clear revelation, there's not a lot of light, but I can sort of feel my way through and sort of discover God in those dark spaces. This is a little bit for those of you who daven at KBY. I had the enormous pleasure of speaking a couple weeks ago when Michael made Shal Shudis in honor of his beloved mother's yahrzeit, a very, very, very special person. And I spoke about something that happened with our friend Yehuda Sigal, of how his sort of discovery, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, of his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a period of time as an older person going through a lot of family issues after a heart attack, after a stroke. And he told me in that, he said, Rabbi Blas, I feel so lucky, and these were his exact words, my last conversation with him, that I had to teach myself how to learn to daven again as an older person. Because I'd always daven by heart. I always knew the words by heart. After I had a heart attack, after I had a stroke, so I lost the capacity to remember anything. And then I felt like the beauty of almost a child learning how to daven for the first time as an older person. Right? That's like the Anochi of Haster Aster. It's Anochi that many of you, parents, grandparents, you know, went through the Shoah. My parents did not. The grandparents gave beforehand. It's like the Anochi of Haster Aster, people that managed to somehow reinforce faith in themselves in horrible moments, as opposed to sort of the Ula, perhaps, of, you know, the building of the State of Israel or the 1967 war. There's two different types of sort of elements of discovering a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I'll read that line again. V'il ha'kara shekinesis Yisrael makira es ha'anochi ayidei ha'geula de hester aster recognizing God when it's haster astir, hidugmas ha'kara, is similar to the capacity to recognize sha'adam makir chaveiro, when a person recognizes his friend, ayidei shalimid is atzmo lakir be'ezras chush acher muvad chusher iya. When you have to recognize your friend when there's no light, when it's just sort of feeling the person out, so to speak. Umeata napshi chakav hala. Let's sort of take that one step forward. Likisha yala amud hashachar. When there is the rising of the sun, the hashemesh teitzei begvurasa, and the sun is shining fully and brightly, v'ha'or shel giloi elukus yesh v'sayim korchama, and the sort of the light of the revelation of God is sevenfold, even the light of the sun. We're talking about in the world to come. Ki oz bevadai she'osam kli ha'or, she'kineses Yisrael ha'isez kukol ha'mikodem, then the light that we need in this world of Pesach, of talking about miracles, of creation, of Har Sinai, of Kriyas Yamsuf, all those things, yisbatlu b'derech mamela. We won't need those things anymore. When you have a clear revelation of God, we're not going to need all the holidays that speak about the revelation of God. Ulechein, and therefore, kol ha'moedim shehem zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the holidays that are a remembrance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, l'kishayovel hayom asher bo tiyeh ha'gula hasida ikar v'gulos Mitzrayim tofel, where we have the day of revelation, and therefore you're not going to need gulos Mitzrayim, v'hariyesh b'chla mosayim mana, like, it's going to be totally batel. It's going to be totally negated. Gam kol ha'moedim yischalu b'or Hashem eshel geula. All of those holidays are now going to be sort of subsumed within the geula. The geula is revelation, and therefore all the holidays that speak about revelation will either be unnecessary or subsumed against the ultimate or within the ultimate revelation in the times to come. Okay? Eluchol zehu b'shar ha'moedim. But that's only when it comes to the Moedim of Anochi Hosesichem Eretz Yisrael. All those holidays, the Chol Zehu B'Shar HaMoedim, the Yisodam, that the foundations, the fundamentals of those holidays, Hu Ha'or Shel Gulos Mitzrayim, is the light of Gulos Mitzrayim, i.e. Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, revelation, revealed miracles, walking through the Midbar, etc. Ava Geula de Purim, but the redemption of Purim, Asher al Yada, but through the Gula Purim, Knesset Yisrael limdas atma, Klai Yisrael taught themselves in the Geula of Galus and of Purim, Anochi Haster Aster, Lahakirs Hanochi Gam B'choshech B'Hester, to recognize God even in the darkness, even the hidden, Bevadai Shezei Yisher Kinyan Olam B'Nafshesh Knesset Yisrael. That's going to remain even once the lights have gone on, even once you have revelation. Meaning, what holidays will be batel? The holidays of revelation. The holidays of discovering God in Choshech, that is going to continue even after the ultimate time of revelation in the future. Afilu li'achar sh'yala mud ha'shachar. Kol ha'moedim b'teilim, chutz mipurim sh'nemar v'zochem lo yosef miyuzarim. Therefore, we always continue to read that. Now, before we do Gimel, I just want to mention just how profoundly meaningful this was for me. Okay? Each person probably in this room, each person in their life, has gone through their own journey, whether that journey is illness, is loss, is trauma, is other things that happen in a person's existence. And specifically the feeling that in those moments of haster aster, there's a way of discovering God through that. And then when you can discover beauty and kindness and compassion and godliness and spirit and your own greatness in that, like, that's something that you build in yourself in a way that never ceases. So now your life is better. But now you still have maintained all of that. And now there's happier times and joyous times. But what you've maintained through that journey is the capacity of discovering God and perhaps one's own godless in the middle of that. That you take with you wherever you go. That no matter what stage of life you have, that capacity to discover beauty and greatness and God's presence in all of life's journey, in a way that is so fundamental and so meaningful. Komodim b'teilim, you know, you think about a person, let's end for a second, a person who loses their job, and a person who has to, you know, rely on the community, and a person who has to rely on faith and build themselves up and rebrand themselves. And in that moment, the great discovery of all those things, of one's own potential koach, of the generosity of neighbors, of the fact that you're not going to be left starving, of the greatness of community, of the fact that you have a rub on your shoulder that you can go to talk about X, Y, and Z, of the connection with one's wife, meaning it's like, or husband, or children. It's the greatness that comes in those moments, and then, okay, a person finds a job the next day, great. But that beauty and the godless, the hisromamus, the deep connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the deep faith in those moments, like that is what becomes like worn on a person, almost like another limb, almost like a deeper limb through those moments. So, listen to this last paragraph. This is what we were saying before. There are two different ways of having inspiration, of having illumination. Ha'achas, one type of illumination is Shalashem, Hashem Orli, God is my light, God is my salvation. Piklalius, in a very general sense. V'yashnia, ki eshe b'choshech Hashem Orli. I sit in the darkness, and Hashem is my light. In a very personal way. V'adifuso shel Purim, that which is sort of greater about Purim, ki dafka ha'idei ha'ara ha'misnotzetzes gam b'choshech. That is really the light that is sparked, even during darkness. And just like the strength or the value of light which comes to a person in darkness, meaning the lightness that comes in darkness is greater, it's more beautiful, it's more illuminating, it's more uplifting than simple light that comes like in this room now. Kimo Kane, so too, Osam Pnine Hadas, the jewels of knowledge, Hamis Notesim Betoch Haidas, Shel Adalo Yada, mean the jewels, the pearls of knowledge, which becomes enlivened and sparkened during the Idas, the lack of knowledge of Adalo Yada. Meaning I think what he means to say is that the sparks of light that come in a time like Purim of confusion or adlo yada or a lack of light, yikarim him biyoser. In other words, you can have knowledge, you can have revelation that comes sitting in front of a book, and you can have knowledge, revelation close to God that comes sort of in the experiences of Purim. He felt that's something which obviously is greater and is more meaningful. Anybody either have a question on a word or a phrase or any thoughts or comments, or if this struck you in a certain type of way?
Well, I think you